So we want to just share with you this morning. We've been, you know, part of what we love to do coming into another year is to just ask the Holy Spirit, is there any particular emphasis for the year 2024? And we've done that. And we want to share something with you this morning. We don't claim we know everything God is saying because, you know, we all prophesy in part. Is that right? So we're just going to bring our parts why we need to listen to one another. But we hope that the part that we share, Greta's going to speak for a few minutes. I'll come and share a little bit later, but we hope that our parts that we share this morning will really, really encourage you. So God bless you as you listen.
Thank you. What we said to everybody yesterday, it's just our absolute joy and honor to be here. And it was just so wonderful yesterday to meet so many of you. But just before I do, I believe Mike and Amy and the family are listening, and Mike and Amy, I just really believe, you know, when God calls and says go, He will open the way before you, and I just declare that every door that needs to be opened will open in Jesus' name. And for Rediscover Church, you know, early this morning, I just got this word, step up. God's wanting to take you to another level, because as a leader goes, so the church goes. And Mark and Nita are stepping up into this new role. And I would just encourage you to step up in the church here to fully function together in whatever role God has called you, because God has so much more for this church ahead. And Mark, what I just really felt for you with Nita by your side is that as you step into this new role, the Lord is going to mantle you with greater governmental authority as a leader of leaders and greater spiritual authority. And Isaiah 22:22 is the verse for you. I will place on your shoulder, this is God speaking, the key. Keys speak of authority to the house of David. What He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. Because what I want to share today, this prophetic word, I call it Psalm 24 and open doors for 2024, and these two things are related. And in actual fact, God started speaking this to me from January last year already. And I sense that 2024 is a significant year, and Psalm 24 is important for 2024. And the Lord confirmed this through a natural sign. I came across this number combination, 2424, an extraordinary number of times throughout last year. And then every time it happened, I kept hearing Psalm 24 for 2024. So I'll just very briefly touch on a few points that God has highlighted in Psalm 24 and the related doors. So the first thing that Psalm 24 declares is that the whole earth, the whole world and everything in it all belong to the Lord. He's the creator. And we need to know that our God is in complete control. He is sovereign over all, because prophetically we are living in times of trouble and days of war and battle, as Job 38 describes. Secondly, God is calling us to ascend the mountain of the Lord above the increasing turbulence and chaos of the world and stand in His holy presence daily. If we live from the heights of His presence, we will have His supernatural peace and protection. And whatever troubles we face, God will impart ongoing power for us to stand on those mountain heights. And there's an if we choose ourselves to open a most important door that we have coming up on our next slide, the door of greater intimacy. Revelation 3:20, this is Jesus speaking. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Isn't that the most beautiful personal invitation to enjoy greater intimacy with Jesus, to know Him more, and to feast on His delights? So will you respond? Will you fully open the door of your life and welcome him in? It's the same thing as Mark was saying, that will you surrender your whole heart to Jesus? He wants our whole heart. He wants all of us. Then right after this passage, there's the door of greater revelation in Revelation 4:1. And the Apostle John writes, "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I'd heard before said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.'" If you open wide the door of your life to Jesus, he gives you a personal invitation to greater revelation through this open door in heaven. Will you respond and choose to come up higher through this open door? Then thirdly, Psalm 24 states that only those with pure hands and pure hearts can ascend the mountain of the Lord. That's why that process of consecration Mark led us through is so vitally important. God is really calling us to be utterly devoted and dedicated and surrender to him. You see, Jesus is after a pure, holy bride who won't compromise with the world's ways. And about 18 months ago, Jesus said this, "I am cleaning house to prepare for my glory that is coming." And I sense this referred to the church globally, so that the house of God is a holy dwelling place for his glory. So will you surrender to the Holy Spirit to spring clean your house? And then this brings us to these incredible doors, the doors for the King of Glory. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10 says, "Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." And it's repeated twice because it's important. Who is this King of Glory? "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory." And there are two brief points from this passage. Firstly, in these days of war and battle, the Lord Almighty fights for you and he fights with you. And his promise is this, in Romans 8:37, "Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ." And he wants us to claim this as our own. So to say, "Overwhelming victory is mine through Christ." You know, there is power in declaring. Declare a thing and it will be established. Can we declare that together? Let's just say it together, 1, 2, 3, okay? 1, 2, 3. "Overwhelming victory is mine through Christ." Let's say it again. "Overwhelming victory is mine through Christ." You know, his will for us is that you and I overcome whatever we face. And then the second point from this passage is that this is the most wonderful corporate invitation to God's people to open wide the doors for the King of Glory to come in. Jesus really wants to fulfill Ezekiel 44:4, where Ezekiel writes, "I looked and I saw the glory of the Lord filling his temple." We are his temple. And I've seen this in visions. I long to see it be fulfilled, that God will do this. And then the final door that I'll mention. Early in December last year, Jesus said this to me, "I will keep opening new doors in the season ahead. I am the great door opener. I shut some older doors where your assignments are complete. There are new assignments. I'm making room for them. Remember, every door I open, no one can shut." I then instantly saw a vision of doors, and you can see on the picture, this was the closest that I could find if we have our next slide coming up. It was a bit like a warehouse, and there was this long row of doors, different kinds of colors, designs, and handles, and I sensed these were new doors of opportunities and assignments. And this verse came to mind. And you know, these scriptures that are with each door was what God prophetically highlighted. 1 Corinthians 16:9. A great door for effective work was opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. And Holy Spirit also underlined this promise from Revelation 3, where Jesus says, "See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." You know, some of these doors are adventurous unknowns, and others have a sign on them. And one of the signs is door of hope. Jesus himself declared, "I am the door." And he is the hope of the world. And I believe that in 2024 and beyond, the door of hope will be open for many who are desperate for hope. And I feel even today, God is going to open the door of hope for some who don't yet know him. Some people listening online and perhaps here as well. Another sign is door of miracles. 2024 is a year of unprecedented miracles, and God will do unprecedented miracles through those who dare to believe. Miracles of salvations in our families, in the people we know, of healings, of financial provision, and of restoration of relationships. I felt these things were especially dear to God's heart. And then the door of deliverance. And in 2024, doors of deliverance, just as in those prison doors in Acts 12, will miraculously open. Chains of bondage will fall off, and breakthroughs are coming for those who've been praying this. And I have been feeling all morning, since early this morning, this phrase, spirit of breakthrough for Rediscover Church. God wants to impart to this church a spirit of breakthrough that you will carry it. And Mark and Nita, you know, there are spiritual strongholds ahead, and God imparts to you a much greater increase of the breaker anointing, that you will carry the spirit of breakthrough at a new level that will shatter those demonic strongholds. The Elam movement needs to carry the spirit of breakthrough in the years ahead to advance the kingdom of God in an increasing dark world. And God wants to restore the true DNA of Elam, and he intends her to advance into new territory never seen before. And so, Rediscover Church, you are a smaller picture of what I believe God wants to do as through the whole Elam movement. And if I may just quickly pray, would you just lift your hands to release that spirit of breakthrough? In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you. You are the spirit of breakthrough. And I release into this church, into the fabric and the foundation of this church, a spirit of breakthrough. Receive it, that you will carry the breaker anointing. And Mark and Nita, I release to you a whole new level of the breaker anointing, that you will carry it, that you will impart it, you will release it, that this spirit of breakthrough will spread right through the Elam movement of UK and beyond in Jesus' name. Amen. So just briefly in summary, if I could encourage you to meditate on Psalm 24. Open the door of intimacy, and Jesus will open the door of greater revelation. Prepare with purity for the King of glory, and finally, look for doors of opportunity that God opens. You will look and you will see those doors that he opens for you. God bless you.
That's a great word. You know, every prophecy is an invitation to intercession. So just because they're spoken doesn't mean that they will happen unless we mix them with faith and pray them into being. So there's just some exciting stuff there that I think God is really saying, come on, in 2024, let's believe him for that. So what really was coming to me last December as I was asking the Holy Spirit, you know, is there some emphasis for 2024? The phrase more in 24 just kept coming to me over and over. If we can have that up on the screen, thanks. More in 24. And I'll speak into that in a minute, but I want to give some books away first. So we've got a book table out there. Greta talked about hope. One of the greatest commodities the world needs right now is hope. Is that right? So this book will light a fire of hope in you. Talks about what biblical hope is. And it talks about how you can transform valleys of trouble into gateways of hope. Who would like a free copy? Okay, Sarah in the check shirt. You want to come and get that? Or have I got a runner? Yeah. All right. There you go. Okay. Bless you. Afterlife, everything you wanted to know about life after death before you experience it, it's in the book, all right? It's in the book. So what heaven's like, the return of Christ, judgment day, resurrection body, the new world, there's just so much in there. And I think it's written in a balanced form and we need to know it. It's one of the basic truths that every Christian should understand, you know, the coming judgment, the return of Christ. And also we talk about how to overcome grief if you've lost a loved one. Anyone like that one? Just, oh my gosh, there's so many of you. All right, the first out gets it. There it is. That'll test sanctification. Oh, look, here she comes. Wow. You guys are all so polite. This is such a polite church. They did not race out. I'm amazed. God bless you for your good manners. You know, in New Zealand, they would have been out climbing over the chairs, let me tell you. So, yeah, we're colonials out there. But anyway, this one I got to hang on to till later, till I see the lady in blue. It's yours for later on. Okay, how to pray and change your world. And God is wanting every believer to step up in prayer. Is that right? You got kids and grandkids and family members not yet in the kingdom. This book will tell you how to pray for them so that they get saved. It'll teach you how to pray like Jesus wants us to pray. And it will just really help us go to another level of prayer. So that's for you. I'll leave it a little later on. So I'm getting this thing more in 24. Excuse me. So what I did is I got my Bible software out and I looked up every verse in the Bible that had the word more in it. And let me tell you, there's a lot of them. So I narrowed it down to the New Testament. And as I looked at all those New Testament verses, there were three particularly that really stood out to me, and I want to share those with you this morning. The first is found in Romans 8:37. Greta's already mentioned it, actually. We are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37, it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And all those things, if you read the context around what Paul is saying, he lists them, troubles and pressures and problems and persecutions and deprivations and dangers and death threats. And there's a people, Christians in the world today, who are meeting today under threat of death or imprisonment. The world has become much more volatile, much more opposed to Christianity. Satan's more active. These are all signs Jesus predicted that would precede his return. And he said, when you see those things, look up, your redemption draws near. We should not be overawed by evil. Is that right? And it's parading itself in our nations. And we shouldn't be overawed. We need to understand that God's more will always conquer evil's more. I think we've got that on the screen. Can we bring that up, please? And these things that Paul talks about, that we're more than conquerors, these would include also addictions, character flaws, temptations, depression, and other areas we may struggle with. In 1 John 5 verse 4, it says this, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. The thing about that is that it's easy if you've failed many times to believe you'll never have victory in a particular area. To feel just like a condemned failure. To fear the next time you fall into that sin or addictive behavior pattern. And when the enemy traps us in fear, you're not going to beat that. You just keep falling in that area. You can't help yourself. When he gets us into that realm of fear, it's the opposite from what the scripture says, that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And we have to resist the spirit of defeatism. We have to know and understand that we've got to get up and go again. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. Though they fall, they will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds. You'll never stand yourself. Come on, somebody in here, you're trying to get victory yourself. You'll never do it. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if anyone thinks they stand, take heed lest they fall. Your victory is in Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through what? Through Him who loved us. Not through our own power, but His power within us. And the more the enemy can tempt you to try and beat that thing in your own strength, the more that you will discover. Oh, thank you. Could you unwrap it for? This is a good man. God bless you. Thank you so much. See, the victory that overcomes the world of our faith. Everyone born of God overcomes. You say, what does it mean to be born of God? Well, a man called Nicodemus came to Jesus once, and Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And Jesus was meaning your spirit has to be born. Well, how is that? How does that happen? You see, everybody on planet Earth has sinned and broken God's rules. Is that right? You know there's 10 of them. Love God with all your heart. Don't worship false gods. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Have a day of rest. Honor your parents. Don't lie. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't commit sexual immorality. And don't be greedy and covet other people's possessions. And everybody on planet Earth has broken one or more of those things. And the problem is God is so holy that one breaking of His law, one sin, will separate you and me from a holy God forever. When you get to heaven, you talk to Adam and Eve. One act of rebellion, they lost paradise. One act. See, God is so holy. We live in a society that tolerates sin. Not only does it tolerate it, it celebrates it, and governments even legislate it. But if we die with our sin unforgiven, immediately at death, you and I stand before God. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for people to die once, and after that comes judgment. Immediately. You're not going to come back as a snail or elephant. Reincarnation is not a thing, let me tell you. It's like, okay, you stand before God, and He is obligated by His justice to say, if our sin is unforgiven, I wanted you to spend eternity with me in heaven. But because that sin has never been forgiven, I cannot let sin into my holy presence, for I would consume it. So I must send you to a place separated from me. Any place where God isn't is hell, because there's no love, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no community, there's no hope, there's nothing but horrible darkness and regret. And God is so loving, He doesn't want anyone to suffer that fate. So it says in the Bible, John 3:16, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You wouldn't have to face that rejection of God on judgment day and say, no, I've got to send you away from my presence. No, Jesus died on a cross so that Father could say, welcome into my presence, your sin is forgiven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for you, shed His blood for your sin to be forgiven, and you believe in Him and you receive Him, John 1:12, as many that believe in Christ and receive Him, God gives them power to become a child of God. That's how you get born of the Spirit. And anyone born of God overcomes the world, overcomes sin. And the victory that overcomes the world is faith. And if you're born of God today, do not listen to the lie of the enemy that says you're just going to keep falling, you're going to keep stumbling. No, no, no. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. He is the overcoming one. He lives in you. And you've just got to step into the victory, resist defeatism, resist the thought, I'm never going to conquer that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. You are, you are, you are. He purchased that victory on the cross. You know, we were speaking at our home church back in January in Auckland, New Zealand, and as Greta was sharing, a person in the congregation had a vision, And she saw a line of angels to Greta's right and a line of angels to Greta's left. And these angels had big swords, like an old English broadsword, but they were pointed down. Now, it's really hard to get a photograph of an angel, but I got one of a statue. So could we have that on the screen, please? And we've got a photo of an angel coming up. Here it comes. Coming. Have we got a problem on the PowerPoint there? Can someone help? Could you just jump in and get that? Because I really need that. There it is. There he is. He's a slow angel, that one. My gosh. Anyway, you can see him with his sword down. And you know when a warrior has the sword pointed down, it means they're at rest. Is that right? They're not ready for battle. The lady that was seeing the vision, she said, I watched and the angels flicked their swords up. Can we have the next slide, please? We've got a picture of a warrior with a sword up. That means that warrior is ready for battle, right? So she shared that with us and we said, Holy Spirit, what does this mean? What are you trying to say? And this is what we heard the Lord say for not only our church, but the church. I am releasing a spirit of conquest in 2024. People are gonna conquer things they've never been able to conquer before. Hallelujah. That spirit of conquest, I believe that, you know, when we cooperate with the angelic realm and you say, how do we do that? You've got to flick your sword up. You say, what sword do I have? The Bible says in Ephesians 6, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and it means spoken word. It doesn't mean just written word. When you take a scripture, you're facing fear, and you take Isaiah 41:10, which says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And you begin to declare it and you believe it in your heart. You've just flicked your sword up. You've gone to battle against the lies of the enemy. Or you're facing a financial need and you pick Philippians 4:19. Lord, this is your truth. My God will supply every need of mine according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And all he needs is our generosity and our faith, and he will abundantly do it. And you get the idea. When you take the word of God, which I know, look, we've got a problem in New Zealand. Christians hardly read their Bibles. I'm sure you British Christians are really perfect. You don't do that. It's like, I'm sure that you're not in Facebook, but you've got your face in his book. I'm sure you're so much superior to Kiwi Christians. We got to be in the book. And if you're in the book, reading the book, then you've got a sword that you can put up anytime. And when you flick your sword up, God says, all right, my angels, you go into battle for them. You flick that sword up over that son, that daughter that's away from Jesus, haven't come yet to Christ, that grandson, that brother, that sister. You flick your sword of faith up, and it says that, you know, Jesus talking about how hard it is for rich people to say, be saved. He said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. You flick that up and you declare, it's possible, Lord, and I'm believing for the salvation of my loved one. You get the idea. So, in 2024, expect to conquer things you've never done before. Second scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. God always has a way of surpassing our expectations to remind us how kind and amazing he is, leaving us in awe of him. And I think that the church needs to get a sense of awe and wonder back concerning the Lord and what he does. It's so easy to become ho-hum. Oh, somebody got saved. Oh, that was nice. Great. Oh, somebody got healed. Oh, good. Didn't happen for me, though. Oh, nine kids came to youth on Friday night. You've never been before. Oh, yeah, that's good. We should be saying, God, thank you for those nine that turned up. Thank you for the person that got saved. Thank you for we had a bunch of people healed here yesterday morning. Thank you for those that get healed. You know, we see people fall under the power. Oh, ho-hum, seen that before. No, anybody going down under God's power, it's a memorial. God's touching them. He's doing something. Something profound is happening in their life. Never lose your awe and wonder. If you steward the little bit that he does, he will give you more. The awe will increase. increase. When we released this book in 2022, How to Pray and Change Your World, we prayed that God, would you light a fire in every person that reads it, and would you take the book far and wide? And we kind of thought, well, you know, we minister in UK and Asia and Australia and New Zealand, that's probably it. But a missionary in New Zealand got a hold of a copy, and he works in Mongolia. And he really liked it, so he sent it to a Mongolian church leader who loved it and asked for permission to translate it into Mongolian. See, Mongolia was under the Soviet Union. When it collapsed in the early 90s, there were zero Christians there in the beginning of 1990. Today, there's 60, 70,000 Christians. And so this guy translates it, and he wants to print 5,000. So between our ministry and our home church and the missionary, we raised enough finance to print 5,000 of these things to be given away free to the Mongolian church. We've got a picture of some happy Mongolian Christians. If we can have that up. There they are. They're very happy looking people. So 5,000 of those have gone in. Do you know that one lady, she got in her car, she drove 15 hours through a sandstorm, a snowstorm, and an engine breakdown just to get four copies. Wow. We've got her coming up on the screen. Next slide. There she is. That is hunger. You guys only have to walk to the book table out there. You got it easy. 15 hours to get four copies. Wow. And now, my friend, you can have the book. I'll leave it there for you, okay? But wait, there's more. That church leader contacted me in December to say, we've given away all 5,000. I've just ordered another 5,000 and somebody's paid for them. And they're going to be released this year. 10,000 books on prayer into the Mongolian church has got to do something. Is that right? It's got to light a fire. Do you use the phrase out of Mongolia here to mean far, far away? We do in New Zealand. Like, who would have thought God would say, okay, I'm going to answer that prayer. I'm going to send it to Mongolia. Come on. Like, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. He does more abundantly than we can ask or think. And you may not have written a book, but you might have a dream for yourself, your family, your kids, your ministry, your vocation, your business, this nation, the nations of the earth. You may have a dream burning within you. And if you will believe God that He is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or think, it's time to stop shrinking God down to our littleness of faith. It's time to say, God, I bring my little faith to you and I declare you're able to do abundantly more than you could ask or think. You are sitting in a building that is a living testimony to this scripture. He is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or think. Look around you. This is what God has done. I wonder what He'll do next. And you should take this place as a testimony personally to you. Well, Lord, I'm believing this year for extraordinary things in my life. Come on, 2024. Let's go to our final scripture. It's Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And here comes the word, all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day means the return of Christ when time is over, judgment takes place, the wicked are excluded from the kingdom of God. And the righteous, those that have trusted in Jesus, are welcomed into the kingdom of God, the new earth that He creates, and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever. But the Bible says that the nearer we get to that day, that it's going to get tougher. The antagonism towards Jesus will grow exponentially, both from human beings and from satanic powers. And so they're going to be tough days. And that's why this scripture is saying, when you see the day drawing near, encourage one another and all the more. Ramp up encouragement. Encouragement is the language of heaven. Discouragement is the language of hell. And if ever there was a time where we needed to encourage one another, you know, how does that work? Well, it could be doing a kind act for somebody, just letting them know that God loves them through you. It could be speaking words of encouragement into their life. It can be something as simple as being friendly and a smile. It can be sharing truth. It can be praying for one another. But encouragement can't work in isolation. It works best in community. In small groups. Small groups are powerful places where people can be encouraged. Church gatherings like this, or just a couple of friends meeting and encouraging one another. And again, I don't know if you have this problem here in Britain, but in New Zealand and in our city of Auckland, we've got Christians that just turn up to church about once every 3 weeks. Like, again, I'm sure you guys are perfect. This doesn't happen here, does it? It's like, no, this is not something that happens in Exeter, right? Okay, because you guys know that Jesus didn't die on the cross just for you to waltz into church every 3 weeks. You know that, right? Because you're superior Christians to us back in New Zealand. Because some of us guys back there, we don't know that yet. He did not shed his blood for me to turn up every 3 weeks to church when I felt like it. I'll give church a go today, but next week I'm out doing whatever. No. Being part of a Christian community is part of our maturity, being part of something where we're connecting with other people. And I love online ministry. You know, there's a little church we minister in New Zealand that got 100 people in it. They get 26,000 people watching their service as it goes online. How cool is that? I don't know what your numbers are. Do you have any idea? Not that many. It's just like, because it's revivals happening in it. And it's just like, praise God for online ministry. People can't get out to church. You can watch anywhere from the world. But could I say to those watching online, please make sure also that at some point, somewhere, you're part of a Christian community. And I know there's online communities, that's fantastic. But you hear what I'm saying, face to face at some point. There was a man in the early church called Joseph. And he was a great encourager. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 11:24, he was a good man, full of the Spirit and full of faith. He just loved going around encouraging people. And you know what? He was such a strong encourager, the apostles gave him a nickname. Anyone know the nickname he got? Barnabas. Just means son of encouragement. Barnabas was awesome. There was another guy in the early church called Saul. He was a ratbag. Like, he persecuted Christians. He hated Christians. He cheered when Stephen got stoned to death. He was on his way to Syria to arrest more Christians. And Jesus appeared to him like the sun. He got struck off his horse. He got blinded. He got saved. And then he tried to join the church. Well, they didn't want a bar of it. They thought, this guy is faking his conversion. He just wants to get in among us. And you know what? Guess who went and got him and brought him to the apostles? Barnabas, correct. Barnabas, the encourager, goes and grabs Paul, Saul, and brings him to the apostles, and they check out his story and say, yeah, it's bona fide, and he ends up becoming the great apostle Paul. Paul was his Roman name, Saul his Hebrew name, and that apostle Paul became one of the greatest Christians who's ever lived. And I'd like to suggest if it wasn't for Barnabas, there might not have been a Paul. When you encourage somebody, you never know what they're going to become. When you pray for somebody, when you let them know you're praying for them, when you just do something to help lift them up and keep them going, you never know who they're going to become. And I'm going to finish with this story and it's about a man called Nicholas Winton. There's a movie called One Life that's just been released recently. Greta and I watched it. Anyone else seen that? It's about a man that rescued 669 Jewish children out of Czechoslovakia with the help of his mother and a team. He got these Jewish children out before the Nazis swept in and World War II started. And he managed to get foster homes for them here in Britain. And so 669 of them ended up here. I know a lot of other people brought kids out as well. And then, you know, he served in the military in the war, and after the war it was all forgotten. But in the 1980s, his wife discovered this scrapbook in their attic that gave details and pictures of all the kids that he'd gotten out. And he says, Nicholas, this story should be known. And to cut a long story short, it fell into the hands of a BBC producer, and they did a kind of a This Is Your Life program for Nicholas Winton, and this happened in 1988, so like it's 50 years later. And so he's in this audience of a couple of hundred people, and she's talking about the story and holding up the scrapbook. And then she says to the audience, if anyone in this audience owes your life to this man, would you stand to your feet? All 200 stood, clapped and cheered. They had tracked down a couple of hundred of the 669, and they thanked him for saving his life, their lives. When we help someone cross the finish line into heaven, their life is saved. The devil will go all out to try and trip somebody up to stop them crossing the finish line. But when you come, see, the film was called One Life. One man, one life. You're one life. Who is it that God needs you to encourage to cross the finish line? It could be 10, it could be 100, it could be one. And even if it's one, it's worth it that you prayed them across the finish line. You encouraged them across the finish line. You loved them across the finish line. I had a son in the drug scene for 12 years. We had to pray, we had to love him, but he got over the line of drugs and he's going on good for Jesus today. And we're trusting that he's gonna be right there at the finish line at the end. They discovered that those 669 kids, many of them got married. There are now 6,000 descendants of them. You never know that the person you encourage, what they can go on to do for somebody else. And when you get to heaven, I believe there'll be an audience of people that stand to their feet and cheer you and clap you into heaven on that day that you land there. And you say, I don't even know who you are. Yeah, but your life impacted that one, and that one impacted me, and they impacted somebody else, and we're just cheering you, saying thank you for the life that you lived that encouraged me. I reckon that's how God wants it to be. You say, I'm not good enough for all that. No, 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 you are in Christ. You can do this.